Well, I hear the children. I think they're coming soon, but we'll go ahead and get started. Good morning. Welcome. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Happy Mother's Day to everyone who's ever had a mother. I think that qualifies most of us. Are there any announcements this morning? I don't see anybody jumping up and down. Oh, wait, there's an announcement. Do we have the microphone? I think somebody's coming. Matt's coming here.
I am in the search committee, and everybody in the congregation, we are in need of spring cleaners for the parsonage. So we're going to do this tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I ask that anybody that's available, please bring your buckets and favorite cleaning supplies. And so 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'll bribe you with coffee and cookies. And then if we don't get everything done on Monday, we'll do it the following Monday, which I believe is the 19th.
Yes.
So anybody that's available would be appreciated. We are going to be showing off the parsonage in the process of the search committee, so we want it to look as best as possible. Thank you.
And just to go along with that, you know, they are starting to interview some candidates, so we definitely want to keep everyone in prayerful consideration, the candidates and the search team. Any other announcements from anybody? Then we'll move to a time of joys and concerns. Obviously, it's a joy remembering our moms today, those that are with us and those that aren't.
I'm very thankful that my dad's home from the hospital from his surgery, and he's recuperating, doing very well.
I have a joy last night at the Hats Off Women and Girls Banquet. We had a fantastic time, and a lot of thanks to Judy Coots for all of her hard work and the great job that she did. She had us all laughing most of the evening. It was great. On a sad note, last night was also kind of bittersweet because it was the first mother and daughter banquet. My cousin wasn't able to attend. So just remember all the moms who've lost children, because I can't imagine how difficult today is for them.
Absolutely. And I do have to say, Judy, I am disappointed there was no announcement this morning. I think we've all looked forward to that.
I have one. Karen's going to be traveling to California this week, leaving tomorrow, coming home Thursday. So let's have traveling mercies to me and sanity mercies for me.
You have our prayers, Matt.
We're in the marriage class, and we talked about godly legacies this morning. And what you're going to leave behind. And I'm so grateful and blessed to have parents that have been married 40 years today. So.
Happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you.
Very, very young.
I want to say congratulations to Marlene Blatt. Her story and picture were in the paper yesterday.
I want to say thank you for the prayers. My outpatient surgery on Friday went great, and so thank you.
Happy Well, Judy, I get my diamond next year. We just celebrate at 49, and you don't have to sing.
Don't have to sing.
We attended graduation yesterday at Lebanon Valley College. Our daughter is a graduate of LVC. She is going on for another 2 years, continuing her physical therapy education. And I was, I don't know what you would say, moved when the doctors of PT were presented their diplomas last in the graduation yesterday, and thinking of how in 2 years it's going to be my little girl.
Don't see anybody else. Bob, did you have anything to add this morning?
I do. Both Tim Reinhardt and his dad, Gerhardt, were in the hospital this past week and are both out. Gerhardt and Alois were in the early service. But Gerhardt has to go back in this at the end of this week for they open up the veins in one leg, and now they need to do it in the other leg. So let's remember him in our prayers. Also, Paul Swigert isn't here today. He said he was going to spend this weekend up in the mountains before major surgery tomorrow. He's having a knee replacement surgery tomorrow at Lancaster General Hospital. So let's remember him in our prayers. Also, for those of you who didn't know what Fern was talking about with honoring Marlene Blatt, I didn't see that article either, but I'm going to get a copy of that article. Marlene, in October, will celebrate 50 years as the organist here at Little Swatara. And there was apparently a wonderful picture of her at the organ, and he wanted to get the cross, and he also got a great picture of the scaffolding that was there as well, John. We've had a painter here this week doing some work on the ceiling, and that made it into the Reading Eagle. So your scaffolding, John, made it into the Reading Eagle. So Carol and I will celebrate next weekend our 42nd anniversary. So we have 2 years on you. So don't be so whatever you are. Right. Yeah, and also we have asked Judy if she will become the official promoter of Love Feast. Because I found out that there were about a third more people who came out to Hats Off to Women than were in attendance at Love Feast. So obviously Judy had a lot to do with that. So we're going to she's going to be the PR person for Love Feast. And I'm serious, you think I'm joking, but we're expecting twice as many people at our next Love Feast, Judy. So you have your work cut out for you, okay?
All right. No more announcements, so if you will please stand and join in hymn number 322.
Thank you.
you would stand and join me, please, in the, you're already standing. It's been a really long week and a long weekend. I'll explain a little bit more later. A good woman is hard to find and worth more than diamonds. Her children respect and bless her. Heaven joins her with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm and deceiving, and beauty can fade, but a woman who honors the Lord is to be praised. We're going to have the Jubilee Choir sing. I'm waiting for the thing to change, and it's not changing.
Hey, thanks, guys. That was pretty good singing for just five. We've had a... We've had a dose of spring fever that has smitten our choirs this week. We only had eight of our senior choir that went to Lebanon Valley Brethren Home on Wednesday, and they sang their hearts out, and now this is less than half of our strength for the Jubilee Choir, but they sang, and they look so good. And the thing I like more than anything else was the pyramid look. Now, that was perfect, you know? You just can't get better than that. Let's pray together. Oh, before we start praying, take out the next hymnal. I think it's 356. And just open up the hymnal and set it in your lap so that when I say my amen, we can go right into Breathe on Me, Breath of God, okay? Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful this day when we can come into your presence, and we want to thank you for our moms and our grandmoms and our aunts and our sisters and other women who have helped shape our lives. None of us would have the kind of shape we have today if it hadn't been for the women in our lives and the significant role that they had in our lives, and often in shaping our lives spiritually. Our women have taken, in many cases, more responsibility for that work than the men in our lives, and so we're thankful for the faithfulness of these women of God who have had so much influence in shaping our lives in positive ways. Thank you. It's not enough to only say thank you one Sunday a year on the second Sunday of May, just like Thanksgiving can't happen only on a Thursday every fall. We need to be filled with Thanksgiving every day, and we need to be especially thankful for the women in our lives, far more than just one Sunday a year. We're also grateful that we're able to come together and lift up those in our midst who have been ill and in the hospital, and we're grateful that most of them are home right now. In fact, I'm not aware of any in the hospital right now. Ray Keeney was discharged, and Tim and his dad were discharged from the hospital, and only Joyce Luckenbill continues to be in the rehabilitation center, and of course we remember Paul, who will be in the hospital tomorrow for that knee surgery. So be with him. We're also aware of people in our lives who have been important and are no longer with us on this day, and it brings some sadness. And some of us are aware of children growing up and moving on in their lives, and that is both a joy, but also it generates some sadness. It's a joy when we see the accomplishments of our children, like we see in the life of Sarah Wise, and it's also there's some sorrow when we think about children who've lived in our homes for many years and getting ready to go away to college, and we can't help but feel a little bit of sadness about that. And so be with us and help us, as Paul learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and help us to learn that secret as well. So grateful for the fun times that the women had together last night here at the Hats Off to Women gathering, and for the beautiful hats that were generated. And we're also grateful, we're grateful for Marlene Blatt and the nearly 50 years that she has given of herself to play organ here. And we're grateful that the newspaper in Reading recognized that as quite an accomplishment. And then we think of Diane High, who was in the hospital and is grateful that that procedure is over. And those in our midst who are either celebrating or have celebrated or will soon celebrate wedding anniversaries. And thank you, Lord, for your faithful in the midst of our relationships, that you provide the grace that we need to sometimes to endure one another. And you're faithful to us. Thanks, God, for, I don't know whether to be thankful or to be regretful for our sister who's going off to California. That's quite a Mother's Day gift. And we pray that you'd be with Karen as she flies out to California this week and be with her, provide traveling mercies, and pray that she'd have a really great time there. Lord, there are so many other things that we could take some time praying about. Our prayer lists are not nearly as long as your prayer list is. And so we pray that you would hold in your heart those whose names have not been named here, and that you would care for their needs, whether they're spiritual needs or emotional needs or relational needs or physical needs. Lord, you're the great physician, and you can supply all of our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who owe us, and lead us not into
So, having a rough week. My baby's going off to college next year, and it's starting to hit. Just ask her dad. But it's a good thing, and I'm very happy. And I found this on Facebook earlier this week, and it just kind of fits everything we've all think about and been through. But it says, to all the unselfish moms who traded sleep for dark circles, salon haircuts for ponytails, long baths for quick showers, late nights for early mornings, I've reached the stage where I do the late night waiting up and then get up the next morning and go anyway. But I think we've all been there, and not one of us would change a thing. And God gave his son for us without a second glance, without a thought. He would not trade his son for our lives. Let us pray. God, we thank you for that blessed, wonderful gift of your most precious son. Let us give our gifts in that same spirit. Amen.
I know you're listening as I lay me down to sleep. It's not for me, I ask, but my children's souls to keep. It seems the world is going crazy, and though I need to do my share, could you please take them under wing, watch over them especially, keeping them safe from everything. This is a mother's prayer. I know you're listening in the silence of this night. The news is blistering, but I hold on to your light. And though there's darkness all around us, by my faith I know you're there. Give me the strength to lead the way. Send me the words I need to say. Use me to guide them day by day. This is a mother's prayer.
Pastor Bob, that doesn't help, you know. Our scripture lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption as sons, theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all. Forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but is the children of the promise who regarded as Abraham's offspring.
My personal thanks to Mark Myers, who was willing to have his arm twisted to do that, show that video again. It's become so, according to him, so outdated. I thought it was just fresh. Now, you know, Sarah doesn't have braces anymore, and some of the boys have beards now. Who couldn't even think about that when these photos were taken. But I just find it so moving. Thanks, Mark, for putting that together and for allowing your arm to be twisted to use it again. I think this is the fourth year in a row when I've insisted that that we use this, because it has such a powerful message, and I find it personally very moving. What I like to do on Mother's Day is not simply celebrate our mothers, though that is certainly one of the important things to do today, but celebrate all of the women who have had a significant role in our lives in helping to develop who we are. Sunday school teachers and aunts and that army of women who have helped bring shape to our lives, and particularly shape to our faith. Guys, we sometimes have been a little neglectful in the role that we've been called to, and have kind of left church up to the women, and have even sometimes referred to it as women's work. And so I'm personally very thankful for my sisters and my grandma and my Bucky Robertson, my first grade Sunday school teacher, and so many others who have significantly added shape and meaning to my lives, and beyond just my personal circle of women friends and mentors. Many women have done significant things that have improved our lives. Women like Valentina Tereshkov. You remember her, right? No? Oh, come on. Come on. She was the first woman to fly in outer space, was hand-picked by Nikita Khrushchev to be the first woman to go up. She circled the globe 48 times, which was more than all of the men prior to her added up. And you don't remember her? Oh, of course. You remember Mary Barra, right? Well, I'm sorry, if you don't drive a Chevy or a Buick or a Cadillac or a GMC truck, that name may not mean anything to you. But she's the CEO of General Motors. And you need to pray for Mary, because she's got some issues that she's struggling with right now that, you know, things that happened not on her watch that now she needs to give an account for. Or what about Kristen Anderson Lopez? Now, surely, well, if you don't remember who she is, your granddaughters do, because that's right. Let it go, let it go. We have heard that so many times in our house that we've heard it enough. Yeah, she wrote together with her husband Bobby Lopez the score to that one, Let It Go, won the Academy Award for Best Song of the Year in movies, and they're quite a writing team. I want to be honest. I've deliberately chose the names of women that you probably wouldn't know to make a point. And by the way, these I didn't know the names of any of these either. If these were Jeopardy questions, I would have not gotten the answer to these questions. But to illustrate a point that Paul's trying to make in the passage that Karen read to us, and that is that there was a problem among the people of God, and the problem was that God was inviting into the church people whose names were neither Bayshor nor Ziegler. Or France. Yeah. And, you know, how could the church be, or what? Or Murky, yeah. And we could name a few others. I mean, you know, what on earth are the Krauses doing in Church of the Brethren? Or the Smiths or the Joneses or you name it. The issue was that the people of Israel had gotten this name of being the chosen people, and over the years they thought that what that meant was, as my friend Pete Letty used to say, they thought they were spatial. Pete was from Florida, and that's how he pronounced special, spatial. They thought that's what it meant to be the chosen people, that they were spatial people, that they had the right stuff to be pleasing to God. And then as what began as a sect of Judaism, that's what Christianity was in the beginning. It was considered to, you know, there were the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Zealots and the Christians, the Essenes. Different sects within Judaism, and it created kind of a controversy, because there were those who didn't have the right name, who didn't have the right pedigrees, and yet Paul was saying, listen, it's not about being birthright brethren, it's about walking in the promises of God and becoming children of the promise. Now, there are many women in the Bible who taught us what it meant to be children of the promise. Remember that elderly woman? What was her name? There was this big deal when the Pharisees with all their robes and all the regalia came up and publicly showed how faithful they were to God by making a big deal about how much money they were giving to the church. And this little widow lady walked up hoping to not be noticed by anybody and dropped 2 pennies in the collection plate. And Jesus said, I tell you, long after the names of all of these others are not known, the story of this widow who gave her mite will be retold again and again and again. Remember her name? Actually, we don't know her name. She was anonymous. Or what about that girl who met Jesus at the well, and she just showed up when Jesus was there, and really not the kind of woman that Jesus should have been talking to openly and in public because of her relational history. But he wanted a drink of water, and he invited her to give him a drink, and after he drank from the water in that well, He said, you know, I've got some water I can give you, living water. And if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And she drank deeply of that water. And wow, did she love that water. In fact, she ran in to the village of Sychar and told everybody about this refreshing drink that she got from this man named, do you remember her name? Yeah, we don't know her name either. You know, there are so many women in the Bible whose stories we tell, who played a significant role in shaping the history of Israel and of Christianity, and we don't even know their names. They're rather anonymous, and yet God used them in significant ways to shape history. And this really fits in with God's plan. This is something that Paul wrote to the young church in Corinth when he wrote this in 1 Corinthians, toward the end of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, our righteousness and holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast only in the Lord. You see, it has never been in God's plan to choose those who were privileged or those who had amassed a number of possessions or those who had the right political connections. God never did it that way. I mean, the very people that you would have expected to be at the birth of the Messiah weren't there. And a bunch of shepherds showed up and some mystics from the Far East. And that's God's style, to choose the nameless. The anonymous. Those who don't come from a certain pedigree, who have amassed the right kinds of toys, those who have the correct political connections. God consistently chooses folks like us. And the whole key is learning to walk in His promises. That's what it means to be a child of promise. Learning how to walk in the promises of God. That old hymn that I love, "Sweet are the promises of our God." And I want to, there's a person whose story I want to tell in I'm sure I've shared at least a part of this story, but I want to tell it today, particularly because of what's going on in Nigeria. Fortunately, the U.S. news services have started telling the story of these girls who were kidnapped in Nigeria from the village of Chibok. What I didn't realize until the early service is that most of the folks who were in our early service didn't realize that these are brethren girls. That Chibok, a small village in northeastern Nigeria, was our second or third mission point. We went to Nigeria in 1923, actually 1922, we went first to the Garkita area, and then I think Chibok may have been the second place where we went to establish a mission station. It might have been the third. It was the second or third. And we started a school there and did other kinds of things. And it was that school that we started there that more than 200 girls were kidnapped from. Most of them were brethren girls. In the Hausa language, Ecclesia Arienawa in Nigeria, Church of the Brethren in Nigeria. So there are daughters who were kidnapped. And Mark, probably we ought to, if we haven't posted on our website, we ought to post the names of those girls, because one of the efforts that is being undertaken right now is to pray by name. We have the names of at least 130 of those girls. And I saw posted all of those names and an invitation for us to pray for, by name, pray for these girls. Well, I want to tell you about one of the girls from Nigeria from a couple of generations ago. Her given name was Kariwakori, which means who would like her. Now, that, I'm glad you called your daughter Iris. That's a lovely, beautiful name. But could you imagine giving your child the name, who would ever like her? And the reason she was given that name was because she had leprosy. And in Wandali, where she was from, she was not allowed to stay there in her home village, because while folks didn't understand what caused leprosy, they knew that it was contagious, and so she was banned from her home village. And for most young women and boys, that was a death sentence, because she had to live so many kilometers away from the home village. I think it was 15 kilometers. And her father, who was a kind man, decided that he would build a hut for her, not just release her to wander in the wilderness and be overcome by some wild beast or hunger. Her dad was a nice guy, and he actually built a little hut for her to live in and made sure that food was taken to her every day. And that's one of the reasons she was able to survive. And then when she was about 15 years old, an old man from the village came to the father of Kariwakori and said he would like to marry her, which was kind of surprising, except that this old man had had four wives and all four had died, and not another woman in the village would marry him, because they thought his life was cursed, and they didn't want to give their lives by marrying him. But Kariwakuri's dad was willing to marry his leprous daughter to this old man, and he was willing to marry her. And he wasn't such a bad old guy. He allowed her to go to this hospital that the brethren had started in Garkita. It was a leprosarium. And she went there and got treatment for her leprosy, and was cleansed of her leprosy, and learned how to read, and learned about Jesus. He became a Christian. She went on to have 12 children. And one of her daughters was Carol's best friend in Nigeria, Rebecca. And the reason the news services have begun publishing what happened to these girls who were kidnapped is because Rebecca and her husband Samuel have given voice to this situation. Rebecca Dolly went on to get her PhD and is now one of the professors at Culp Bible College that was named for Stover Culp, who was one of the founders of Brethren Mission. And Rebecca is there teaching with her PhD because she had a mom who no one would choose except some old guy who couldn't get a woman to marry him and her God. And her name was changed to Aliwa, which means one who is sweet. And so when I think of Aliwa walking in the promises of God, I think of the hymn, "Sweet are the promises of God." Brothers and sisters, you and I are a chosen people. Chosen not because we are spatial, but chosen to be a servant people who faithfully walk in the promises of our God. And I am thankful for those women, both those who were anonymous and those who had sweet names like Aliwa, who chose to walk in the promises of God. Children of the promise. Let's pray. God, we thank you this day for Aliwa and Naomi and Ruth and Mary and Elizabeth and Esther and Rebecca and Leah and those whose names we don't know, who gave visible expression to what it meant to walk faithfully with their God. Because of their lives and because of their witness, we have become who we are today. People who have a greater understanding of what it means to live as a child of promise, of what it looks like to walk in the promises of God, of what it means to reach out in faith, even if only to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that we might be made whole. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for helping us to be faithful to the promises of our God. Help us to continue to walk in your promises. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and sing our closing hymn. In Christ alone. We are all children of the promise. Let us go from this place today, faithfully walking in the promises of our God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say, Amen. Let's pray. Thanks, God, for this day. Thank you for these saints who have been light and salt in our lives. We pray that you would continue to walk with us as we seek to faithfully walk with you. Thank you for all of your promises. Lord, may we walk in the promises of our God. God, we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.